So first of all, you're asking about now. What is now? Where you're asking from is not now. So a reply to a not now cannot talk about now. When you come from the mind, it has no concept, is not capable of experiencing now. The mind only works in the past. That's the way it works, mechanically, electrically, chemically. It keeps accessing the past to make sense of the present. But it's not the present. The mind is accessing the past and gives the impression of present. But it's not the present. And it's designed that way so that the mind, the brain, can keep you, let's say, physically safe. So it's constantly checking what is dangerous, what is not dangerous, what's okay, what's not okay. But to do that, it has to access old information. Information from your life, anything you've read or heard or experienced from other people. Checking all the time, scanning all the time. The past. If you meet somebody who's in the present and you're open enough to experience them, you'll find there's something different about this person. They're not accessing the past to talk to you. They're not giving you a story. They're not giving you information. They are present, here, now, and talking to you exclusively. In this moment, they're here, they're now, talking to you. If you watch most people when they're talking, they're not here. You've got to be observant because most people are not here, so they don't notice that people are not here. So when the mind asks about now, it can't understand it. What it'll do is take the words and put it into its own brain for its own interpretation, the way sound travels. Sound does not travel. Vibrations travel. The ear converts it. The brain converts it into sound. Another part into words. Another part of the words into meaning. But it's the meaning of the brain, not necessarily the person that's speaking. That's why Lao Tzu says, the truth cannot be said. If it's said, it's not the truth. So what the brain is hearing is itself. Not the person that's talking, unless the person is ready not to understand, not to agree, not to disagree, but just listen and listen and let it drop into a place inside of them where they already know, but because they access their, what they call reality, through the programming of the mind, they're not in touch with who they really are. And what they really know. So as Lao Tzu says, you can't really talk about how things are. As I see it, the truth can't be said, but it can be heard because somewhere we already know it. But as I say, not if you're trying to understand or agree or disagree, because that's all to do with the mechanics of the brain. There is something else. We have a person that visits here once a year who does a group called the Satori group, 5-day group. In that process, most people have, and then there isn't a word for it because it's not experience, but they have an awakening where suddenly time stands still. As Jesus said, there is time no more. No time, no space. No separation, no you, no me. Just an indescribable isness. Usually for most people it doesn't last. They go back. But occasionally we've had a few people who've stayed in that state and lived in that state. The Lao Tzus and the Buddhas and to some extent Jesus and Mahavira. A state that can't be described. But of course, if you're more intelligent and a little bit more developed, you get curious about it. So what's that? Is there something else other than what I've been told? Other than what the church and the governments and... Is there something else? And then you can read, yes, there is. People have lived in that state. So the mind says, I'm going to find out about that state, but the mind can't find out about it. That's why if you do go to a true master in the East, they don't say very much. They just sit you down and tell you to close your eyes and sit there. But you have to sit there for years and years and years and years, and hardly anybody reaches that state, especially Westerners, because our mind's too developed. It's too active. So here is here, whether you realize it or not. And one way of saying that is, there is, in this moment, there is nothing but this moment. But the mind gives the impression there is, because it accesses what it thinks is the past, although it doesn't even access the past accurately. The ego keeps sorting out what it will decide to remember or not, and it usually decides something that boosts the ego. Oh, I did this or that. And it probably wasn't like that. We don't have an accurate memory. And that's recognized now by the law. Often witnesses don't see what they think they see. So when we talk about the present, it can't really be talked about. The way I attempt to is it includes. So in this moment, there's the sound of the birds, dog in the background, wind in the trees. Traffic, my voice, they're all included in this moment. But usually we don't do that. We focus on something and exclude. This other way includes everything and makes one thing priority while it's appropriate. So if it's a person talking and you want to listen to what they say, there's your main energy, but it does not exclude the other sounds. So it's totally there. It's listening to the one that's talking, but it's still alert. In martial arts, say with a samurai swords person, they are totally present and they usually are ready to block the attack by the other before they thought. Something has picked up something. And that's because they're not focusing. They're not contracted on the other. They're not focusing on survival or winning. They're there unconditional. They're open. They're expanded. And then the sword moves by itself. And the only time one wins and one loses, if somebody loses their concentration. Like when Michael Schumacher was driving his Formula One car and he came off. He was the champion at that time. He came off and they said, what happened? He said, I had one extraneous thought. One moment. Off. So the moment includes everything unconditionally and just allows the attention to go where it's appropriate in that moment. So if we're talking now, you're listening, I'm talking, but suddenly there's a disturbance here. If you're trying to hear what I'm saying, you might miss the disturbance. Instead of, you'll find your instincts will shift there straight away to see if it's a danger. And if it isn't, it lets it go. So this presence is unconditional. Then we move to theory, because I don't know this. I've read about it. Seems to be confirmed, but it's not my actual reality. And also, it's been studied in science now, that what we call time doesn't actually exist. Everything is happening instantaneously. Now again, the mind can't understand that because the mind can only work in opposites. It's either here or there. It can't be both. But as quantum physics is saying, no, that's not true. The same particle can be in two places in two different forms at the same time. The mind can't understand that, so you have to sense something. So past lives, maybe they're happening now in a different dimension, in a different level of reality, and the same with the future. But then what we tend to do with the mind is we tend to try and fix things. So it's either this or it's that. So we can think, well, if the future's happening now, we have no choice because it's already designed. But maybe it's not like that. Maybe it is that in the moment when you adjust to something in a way that is outside your fixed pattern, so your future changes. So if a psychic's giving you a reading, they can give you an accurate reading if you continue behaving the way you're behaving. But just by telling you you're going to die in a car crash on Friday, already that's changed your future because you're probably not going to get in a car on Friday. Unless you're in a fixed pattern. And then, if the psychic's true, what will happen is what they predicted because you're staying to your old pattern. If you move to a new pattern, you've changed what we call the future, which is not fixed. It's mutable. So maybe it's all happening at the same time. When a psychic reads you, maybe they're reading the future, you in the future. Maybe they can see you. Some of them say that. Now, how does that affect the moment? Well, as I was talking about earlier today, most people's lives, most of the time, is a diversion. They're entertaining themselves not to be in the moment. So you said, how about if the moment is painful? The fact is, that is the moment. One practical thing you can do, you can experiment with this, which I did recently because I had some dental surgery. If you have a really intense pain and you sit and you're totally with that pain, which means you're not resisting it, you're saying yes to the pain. Right, this is what's happening. I'm assuming this is what needs to happen. I will be with the pain. With the pain. Usually the pain intensifies because when you're in pain, you're trying to resist it. You're trying to pull away from it. The resistance increases the sensation of the pain. Say yes to the pain. Be with the pain. Go into the pain. Allow the pain. And what you will find will happen, you will find it. The pain fades away. And it's like when you've taken a strong analgesic. You know you've still got a headache, but you're not having the headache. The headache is headaching. And you're free from the headache. Then what tends to happen? You go, oh, the pain's gone. Bang! It's back, because you've gone back to the mind again. And you're observing instead of being with the situation. So if you're totally, completely with the situation, it usually fades away because you're not unconscious and unconsciously resisting what is happening. Another aspect of you say, well, what if the situation is uncomfortable? Well, the fact is, this is the moment and it is uncomfortable. Illustration, an example. Many years ago, I was giving a group in Australia. And I was talking about this acceptance and how our rejection, our resistance, creates a reality on the outside. Somebody said, I have a perfect example of that. My mother heard noises in the kitchen at night. She came down and there was a thief eating out of the fridge. She said to the thief, would you like a cup of tea with that? They sat down, they talked. Next day, the thief came back and repaired her broken back door. She was there, she was with the situation, she was looking for the maximum potential of this, not contracting, not going into fear, not fighting, not going against. Because by going against, you put out a frequency. The thief picks up the frequency, you start fighting. She wasn't. She was there, she was open. He picks up the vibration. No danger here. This is presuming the person isn't on drugs, of course, because that changes the situation. But still, we create our reality by what we resist, instead of being present and here and now and with what is. There's a Sufi story about a Sufi master that lived in a village, and he was very revered by everybody, wise, gentle. And then one day the butcher's daughter got pregnant. They said, "Who's the father?" And she named the Sufi. So everybody got angry, came up to his door, said, "Look what you've done." And he says, "Oh, is that so?" He just said, "Is that so?" Later, the daughter had the baby. They brought the baby and said, "It's your baby, you've got to look after it." "Oh, is that so?" And takes the baby. Later, the daughter gets guilty, names the real father. They come to the Sufi master to say, "Sorry, we're sorry, please give us the baby back." "Oh, is that so?" If you get the knack of being yes in each moment, you live in a different dimension from everyone else. No conflict, no contraction, no disturbance. Sometimes the body might get disturbed on a physical level. There's some danger there. But still, the peace doesn't change. Whatever is happening, the peace that passeth all understanding. The peace, the freedom, whatever is happening, there is. And this isn't true. This is bringing down the vibration to say this. There is a vision, a realization that nothing ever happens against you. Everything is for you. Everything is help you to see what you need to see, have the experience you need to have. Everything is perfect for everybody all of the time. So we may say, "Well, what about the children that are starving?" Yeah. Your empathy will feel for them. Unless you cut yourself off, you will feel. You might find tears. And at the same time, there's a feeling that they're getting exactly what they need. They need to be with that experience. We're all getting exactly what we need. Lao Tzu talks about it in the Tao Te Ching. As you realize, open, expand into different levels of consciousness, that is the way what we will call existence responds to you. Negative, all you'll see is negativity. Complaint, you'll keep seeing things to complain about. The same thing that everybody sees, but everybody experiences it differently. So a person who's into the nature comes here and sees this hoop pine, magnificent tree. A carpenter comes and he sees a table in there. He sees the same thing totally differently. We're all seeing through our own filters. Until you meet somebody who's not filtering, they're not wearing colored glasses, they're just seeing things as they are. And when they do, there's no yes and there's no no. It's just, this is the way it is. If you read the Masters of the Himalayas, where the man goes and eventually meets the ascended masters who are no longer living in bodies, the strongest feeling I got from these people is not only no judgment, which is one way of saying it, contaminated way of saying it. Another way is total, unconditional acceptance for exactly who you are in this very moment. Very rare to meet somebody in that state. My mother reached that state. No matter what the person had done, including people that robbed her and snatched her purse, she wasn't happy about it. But she wasn't negative. She didn't judge them. She wasn't against them. When she saw something on television, didn't matter who it was, she would feel as much for the aggressor as for the aggressed. She felt for this person because this person is who they are. They're a result of. And yes, they have another choice. We all do in every moment. And that's all we can say we have in the way of free will. how we are in this moment. Are we expanded into being here, or contracted into complaint that it's not the way we want it? It's up to us. We really do create our own reality that way. Not in the New Age way, where, oh, we're all creating it. No, we create it by how we respond to this moment, just as it is.